Come on, family. I think this is a great opportunity for us to be able to center our hearts and our minds on Jesus. The Lord is in this place. He's in your home right now. He's with you in your car, wherever you're watching this and viewing this from. He is present with you. And because he's present with you in this moment, we offer up worship unto him. We stop everything. We slow things down to be able to gather ourselves collectively to lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are in this place. You are not restricted to a building. You are not restricted to a geographical location. Father, you are omnipresent. Your spirit is with us. You said in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus for the person right now who feels alone. I pray, God, that this moment has spoken to them to let them know that you are in this place with them, that they are not alone, that they are not forsaken, but that you are here with them. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, God, for who you are. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Come on, be family. I want you to put your hands together if you know that God is with you. If you're excited about the fact that he's never left you, he's never forsaken you, he is with you at all times. Man, that was an incredible worship experience through song, being led by our good friends, Hope City Church. They're one of our network family churches, our art family churches in Houston, Texas. It's an incredible church, and we're grateful for them just leading us in this moment of worship. But what's up, B-Family? It's so good to see y'all. I say B-Fam, short for Bridge Family, because if you're watching this, man, we consider you family. No matter where you're viewing this from, no matter who you are, no matter what your age is, no matter what your background is, if you know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, man, we still consider you family because you're watching this. I don't take it lightly that you have taken your time today to watch this, to listen to this, to share this, man. We are grateful to have you here, a part of this worship experience today. And I want to say a big shout out to all of you guys who are physically in the Hampton Roads area for helping us to bless many families in need in our community by giving food last weekend to our drive-through food drive as we're partnering with the local food bank and Thrive Peninsula, another incredible organization that's life-giving and helping families in need in our area. I want to say thank you so much for contributing, for going in your pantry, for bringing boxes of cereal and other canned good, non-perishable items. Thank you so much for your partnership in the gospel. That's really a gospel thing where we're able to love on people and be the hands and feet of Jesus in a very tangible and practical way. Thank you so much for being a blessing. And here's another way right now that you can easily be a blessing to somebody else. And that is, I need you right now to share this worship experience. Go ahead and click the share button if you have not already done so. I always say participation is better than observation. So don't just participate or don't just observe and don't just spectate, but actually participate in this worship experience. If you weren't lifting your hands during worship, man, I want you to be engaged during the sermon. I want you to open up your word, open up your Bible, highlight some stuff, take some notes down, comment in the comment section, say some amens, put some emojis in there, whatever the case may be. But I want you to be engaged in this because the Bible says that as we invest in ourselves or invest ourselves in the kingdom, man, like we experience some fruit. We experience some life change. Like nothing that is sown in the kingdom is ever wasted. No, we reap. And so you reap what you sow. And so if we sow ourselves into this experience, I guarantee you that you will be transformed and impacted forever. So go ahead, share that video, comment, take some screenshots, tag the Bridge Church, tag us in it so that way we can share it and push it out to the entire world. But hey, check this out. Before we get into the message today, you know, I think we're going through a whole lot of crazy stuff right now. Maybe some of you guys are stressed and man, you just got a lot going on in your mind and in your life right now. For some of you guys who are parents, you're homeschooling and it's just rough right now. Maybe some of you have lost jobs and you've experienced loss of all types. I think one of the greatest things that we can do during this time, it's a biblical thing. Are you ready for it? It's very deep. It's laugh. I think laughter is one of the greatest things that we can experience right now. Matter of fact, the Bible, Scripture actually says that laughter is good medicine for the soul. And so I want to help you laugh today. I want to make you laugh today. I want to show you something that I think will make you laugh. It's a video that I saw this week. It's actually going viral, and it is hilarious. I want you to check this video out real quick. Go ahead, check it out.
The refined mind is unable to connect. So it's telling me, Ramon Tigres, Ramon Tigres, you've been working hard and dedicated, day in and day out, day and night. In the midnight hour, you're hurting your eyes by watching the school, trying to get the education, trying to learn knowledge that you might not even use. But that's okay, because I'm required. Can I get a witness in here? Say I'm required. Yeah, to watch it, I'm gonna reload the page, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Let's see, I'm on lesson 105, and it's playing, and it's playing, and it's playing, and it's playing.
So what God telling you to do your work?
No, he's still telling me to take a break. You see how he paused it?
No, you paused it.
I didn't pause.
You paused it. You better do your schoolwork.
I didn't pause it. Oh, no, he just paused it.
Man, look, that video was hilarious. Like, oh my gosh. And here's what's so funny about it. It is so real. Because there's a few different elements in there, right? You got like all my high school students, middle school students, some of you guys maybe are elementary students, like you're watching this, and that's how you feel. You're like, man, I don't wanna do no more work. I'm Zoom called out. I'm done doing work. Mama, I don't wanna do no more Zoom calls. Daddy, I don't wanna do no more Zoom calls. I am done with work. Like, students, this is a great time. You could be honest. Like, you're not gonna get in trouble. Like, just say, hey, Pastor Edwin said it's cool. If you are tired of school, just go ahead and raise your hand really quick. I know it's like, your parents might look at you funny, but just be honest, just be honest. And parents, hold on, I'm not letting you off the hook. How many of you guys are like, man, look, this homeschool thing, I'm getting tired of this. How many of y'all like that? Like, I'm tired. Like, I can't do no more E equals MC squared anymore. I don't know how to do no algebra, no calculus, right? Like I am done. I think all of us are there right now. But what's so funny about that is all of us can relate to that, and we can just laugh at ourselves. I think that is one of the greatest things that we could do during this time, is just to find some holistic laughter, man, because laughter is good for the soul. The Bible actually says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So I hope that brought a smile to your face as we get into today, part four of our message series, Mastermind. Everybody say Mastermind. Go ahead, say it. Mastermind. Right where you are. Say Mastermind. And this series is just all about helping us to get our minds under control. Because right now, I don't know if you know this or not, we are in a pandemic, and it has been stretching out week after week. And there's a lot that's going on in our minds. There's a lot that we're thinking about. And we're examining our fitness. We're examining our finances. We're looking at how many followers we got on social media and how many people are liking our posts. But I think one area that we may be neglecting is that of our minds, man. It's our thoughts. And I don't know about you. Look, like, you know, I'm down with examining all these other areas. Like I'm down with making sure my body is fit right now. But can I just be transparent and honest right now? I am sick and tired of home workout videos. Like, I believe in staying in shape. I believe in taking care of the temple because it belongs to the Lord. But man, I'm so tired of all these 10, 15-minute workout videos. I need a gym. Come on, Jesus, be a gym in Jesus' name. I need a gym. I need some weights that I can lift. I need a basketball court that I can go to and ball with some guys. Like, I need that right now, man. And so we're putting a lot of energy in all those things, but I wonder if we're putting just as much energy, if not more, in examining our minds and thinking about the things that we are thinking about. Pastor Craig Rochelle says this quote, and I've shared it the past few weeks. He says it like this: your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your thought life is shaping so much of your life right now, which leads us to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. I want to read these verses today just for a moment as we dive into part 4 of Mastermind, this series. Here's what verse 3 says: for although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God. Watch this. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. And we are ready to punish any disobedience once your obedience is complete. Verse 5, I want to read it again. He says, and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. So today I'm calling our message today, and I hope you're ready for it. I want to talk about winning the war in your mind. Winning the war in your mind. And I thought, just as we're in this message today, talking about winning the war in our mind, every week I've been sharing just how important your thought life is to your life. And I want to give you another statistic that I recently found. According to the Huffington Post, there was an article that they put out not too long ago that said, on average, check this out, on average, 50 to 70 thoughts cross our mind in the course of a day. You and I have, on average, 50 to 70 thoughts per day. And when you kind of break that down even more by hour, it actually breaks down to about 2,500 thoughts per hour, they say. On average, you and I think about things about 50 to 70 some thousand times in the course of a day. And in the course of the hour, we have at least about 2,500 thoughts. But it doesn't stop there. According to the National Science Foundation, check this out. This is really, really where it gets crazy. 80% of the thoughts that we have are negative. And 95% of the thoughts that we think are repetitive. I don't know if y'all caught that. 80% of our thoughts, the things that we think about, are negative in nature. And 95% of the things we think about are actually repeated, which also helps us to see something else, that our thoughts are actually more negative than you actually may think. That you and I might be more of a negative thinker than we actually realize. And here's what this also tells us that's taking place in our minds. There is a battle that is taking place in our minds. Matter of fact, one preacher said it like this: most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. Most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. Which brings us here to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because here, the Apostle Paul is writing to believers in this city called Corinth, and he's writing to these Corinthian believers, and he's writing to them because he has some major concerns as he's speaking specifically here in these first few verses of chapter 10. Because in verse 1 and 2 and 3 and continuing on in this chapter, the context is that these Corinthian believers, the church, is being influenced by false teachers. What I mean by false teachers, these are people who are questioning the resurrection of Jesus. These are people who are questioning God's word. They're bringing God's word into question. They're challenging the authority of the Apostle Paul, the one that Jesus called to plant these churches. And here's what Paul is doing. He's actually writing this letter to address the lies that, like a virus, similar to what we're experiencing today, are spreading through the minds of the people. These lies that are spreading through the church at large. And here's what happened as a consequence. Because the false teachings, the lies, were out of control, it led to the thoughts of the people being out of control, which led to the lives of the people being out of control. What am I ultimately trying to help us to see here? How you live is often shaped by what you believe. How you live is shaped by what you believe. So in other words, the things that come into our minds, if they're not dealt with properly, they will shape how we live. And so the believers here are experiencing this battle. They're experiencing this warfare in their minds when it comes to the truth of God and when it comes to hearing the lies of the enemy. They're battling with this thing. And I don't know if you know this or not. Your mind is in a battle every single day. You are having a battle take place in your mind. You and I are in a constant war. We are in a constant battle, not one that's externally, but one that's internally in our minds. And here's what the devil knows. Here's what Satan knows about you and I, that if he can get our minds out of control, he can get our lives out of control. One person says it like this, that what comes into your mind often comes out in your life. What comes into your mind often comes out in your life. So in other words, the battle in your life is not just a surface battle. It's not just the things that you see. No. It's the things that you don't see. But more specifically, it's the things that you're thinking about. It's beneath the surface. There is a war in your mind, but there's also a war for your mind. And some of you right now are watching this, and you are, let's be real, you are losing the battle in your mind. Every single day, your mind is flooded with all types of negative thoughts. I talked a little bit about this in week one in our first message of this series called Get Your Mind Right. Go back and listen to it on Spotify and on iTunes if you haven't already. But in that message, I talked about this very thing, which I want to dig more into today, that our minds are oftentimes filled with all the negative type of thoughts. They're filled with all these different things that are tearing us down, and our minds are out of control. And some of you right now, like, you're watching this, and you're like, Pastor Edwin, I feel like my mind is spinning out of control. I feel like I'm thinking about all these different types of things, and I can't get a grip on my life, and I can't get a grip on my mind. But here is the good news. I want you to know this, and I need you to get this in your heart today, because I care about you, I love you, and I want to see you flourish and become the person that God has called you to be. Here's the good news, that through believing in Jesus, that through Jesus, God gives you the power to overcome any thought that is not in line with His word. Any thought that comes in your mind that's not aligned with His word, He gives you the power to overcome it. How do I know this to be true? Because 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says it like this: His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through, watch this, the knowledge. That's our mind, that's our thoughts, that's what we believe. Through the knowledge of Him, through our understanding of Him, through our thoughts of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. That's so good news, because it means that God hasn't just left us out here to fend for ourselves. No. God is saying, I have actually given you what you need to win this war in your mind. And Paul speaks about this in these next few verses. How do we win this battle in our minds? Some of you guys may be asking this. How do we conquer this thing called these negative thoughts? How do we deal with that? How do we wrestle with that? How do we come to grips with overcoming some of these strongholds that are present in our lives? Here's the first thing that I want us to see that Paul is helping us to understand. That one of the things that we got to do when it comes to winning this battle in our minds is we got to, what I'm calling, subdue your thoughts through Christ. Subdue your thoughts through Christ. Notice what Paul says in verse 3. He says, for although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful. Watch what he says next. Through God. Through God. In other words, it's not through any other means. It's not through any other source. It is through God for the demolition or the destruction of strongholds. We demolish arguments in every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God. Watch what he says next. And we take every thought captive. We take every thought captive. Notice here that Paul says we take every thought captive that tries to come against the truth of God. We take it captive. In other words, we capture it. That word captive in the Greek translation of the New Testament is the Greek word that actually means to capture something with a sword, or to capture something with a spear. It's a warfare term, and it means simply to bring something under control. That's why I say he's called us to subdue our thoughts through Christ. In other words, to bring those things under control. And Paul doesn't stop there. Paul says that God has given us these spiritual weapons. In other words, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are not of this world. No. They come from God. What are these weapons that God gives us? It's prayer. It's the word of God. It's the power of His Holy Spirit. It's our faith. And all of these things God has given us to combat the attacks on our minds from the enemy. And I also want you to notice another word that Paul mentions here. He says, we demolish strongholds. Everybody say it with me. Say strongholds. We demolish strongholds. A stronghold is anything that can hold you captive. Destructive patterns of thought that can hold you captive. Some of us are right now, and we are being held captive by some negative thoughts. You've been held captive by what you're seeing on the news. You've been held captive by what people have said about you. You've been held captive by what your friends and families and coworkers have said about you. You've been held captive by these things and by those things. And it is a stronghold in our life. But the good news is this. God says, I have given you everything that you need to demolish these strongholds in your life. And here's what that means on our part. It means this. You got to begin to identify these negative thoughts that come into your mind. You need to subdue your strongholds. You need to bring them under control. You need to subdue them. You need to capture them. You need to identify these negative and demonic thoughts when they come. Why do I say that? I need you to lean in on this one. Why do I say you need to capture these things? Because and identify these things, because here's what I know to be true. You can't defeat what you don't define. You can't defeat what you don't define. It is time for you to begin to call these thoughts what they are, that every thought that comes or enters your mind does not need to be entertained. You need to capture those thoughts that are negative, those thoughts that are demonic, those thoughts that are sinful, those thoughts that are unhealthy. You need to capture those things. As a matter of fact, I want you to do me a favor right where you are. This is some crowd participation, right where you are on your couch, wherever you are. I want you to take both of your hands and I want you to hold them open like this. It is a sign saying that we are going to capture these things. So what does this look like for you? When thoughts like this come in your mind, I'm ugly, capture it. I'm not loved, capture it. Things can't get better. Capture it. I'll never graduate. Capture it. I'm thinking of going to that pornographic website. Capture it. I'm thinking of not forgiving that person. Capture it. I'll always be an addict. Capture it. God won't forgive me. Capture it. And once you capture these thoughts, you capture them, you subdue them, and you call them what they are. These are not the thoughts of God. These are not the things of God. These are not the words of God. This is not what God says about me. You got to subdue those thoughts. You got to capture those thoughts. You cannot allow yourself to go off on all these different rabbit trails that will lead you down destructive and toxic paths. That is not God's will for you. God's will for you is not for you to have these thoughts and for me to get these thoughts that are not like him and to follow these thoughts. No. He says, I want you to capture them. Paul says here specifically, take them captive. Bring them under control. Subdue them. Everybody say subdue. Subdue them. Bring them under control. And here's what happens. When you subdue them, Paul doesn't stop there. Now we are called to surrender them. So Paul says it like this in verse 5 at the end of it. And every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, we take every thought captive. Watch what he says next. To obey Christ. We take every thought captive to obey Christ. How do we win the battle in our minds? By first subduing our thoughts through Christ. The only way we can get them under control is through Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. Now we got to surrender our thoughts to Christ. That's the second thing if you're writing this down. We subdue our thoughts through Christ, and now we surrender our thoughts to Christ. We make them obedient to Jesus. Paul mentions here that we don't just take our thoughts captive and capture them. No. We bring them under the lordship of Jesus. We bring them under the power of Jesus. Plainly said, let me just say it like this. We give them to Jesus. That's what I'm saying right here. These thoughts that are out of control, these thoughts that are negative, we capture them and we give them. We capture them and we give them. We capture them and we give them. These negative thoughts that come in that try to tell you who you are not and who you are, all these different type of negative labels that the world has tried to put on you, that the enemy has tried to put on you, you capture that thought and you give it to Jesus. What do I mean by giving it to Jesus? Now what happens is you begin to say things like, no, I'm not ugly. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That no, God does love me and he will forgive me of all of my unrighteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. No, you begin to take all these negative thoughts and you bring them to Jesus. You make them obedient to Jesus. In other words, I say it like this. You say to Jesus, take control of my thoughts. Jesus, take the wheel. take the wheel of my thoughts. I surrender all of them to Jesus. Jesus, I give you every thought that comes to my mind. I give it to you. Every anxious thought, I give it to you, Jesus. Every impure thought, I give it to you, Jesus. Every ungodly thought, I give it to you, Jesus. Every sinful thought, I surrender it to you, Jesus. Every negative thought, I surrender it to you, Jesus. We are bringing everything in line that comes in our minds. We are bringing it to Jesus. We are bringing every single thought in line with Jesus. And if you could be real about this today, much of the anxiety that you and I experience has to do with what happens in our minds. It happens based upon the things that we're thinking about, the things that we dwell on. And sometimes, just pushing it a little bit further, as a result of the mental battles that we face, and because we're sometimes losing these battles in our minds, it leads to depression. It leads to anxiety. It leads to restlessness because we have so much going on in our minds and we more than likely haven't subdued those thoughts and surrendered our thoughts. But the gospel says there's good news that when these negative thoughts come in, you don't have to be controlled by them. No, get control of them and give them to Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it like this in Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus says, this is the greatest commandment. Give God everything, even your mind, even your thought life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says it like this. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, that's also in Christ Jesus. And here's the good news today, man. Jesus is for you. I know your mind is crazy, and I know there's a lot going on right now, and I know you got a lot on your mind. You're thinking about finances. You're thinking about family. You're thinking about school, and you're thinking about what's going to happen this fall, and you're thinking about how things are going to pan out. I can sense that, and I feel that, and there's somebody watching this right now, and your thought life is here. It's there. It's everywhere. I get it. I understand it. I've been there. I know what it feels like. It's like to have your mind just be flooded with all these different types of thoughts, and it seems like you can't escape these negative thoughts, but the good news is this. Jesus says, you no longer have to be controlled by your thoughts. You now can take those things captive and bring them to me and submit them to me. Because when you keep your mind on me, I will keep you in perfect peace. Come on, somebody. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I can capture these things and I can surrender these things. And this is good news for those of us right now who feel like you're out of control and it feels like things won't ever get better. Here's the good news I want to share with you right now. I want you to write this down and take a screenshot of this. When things are out of control around us, Jesus wants to bring things under control in us. When things are out of control around us. This world is out of control right now. There's a lot that's happening right now. When things get out of control, the good news is Jesus says, I can bring them under control. More specifically, I can bring you under control. I can calm you. I can soothe you. And I think some of you need to hear this message today in a very personal way, because some of you have been believing lies of the enemy for years. You've been believing, I just sense this right now. Some of you are literally living out the life of a lie that was spoken to you as a young person and as a child. There are generational strongholds on some of you right now that started, and the genesis of them was a single thought. That because a single negative demonic thought was spoken over you, it then took root in your mind, took root in your heart, which led to the life that you are living today. But I'm here to declare the good news that Jesus has come to set the captives free so that those free people can take captive of those thoughts. That's you right there. You may be here today and you're like, man, Pastor, I came into this thing and my mind was all over the place, but I've heard the good news of the gospel that lets me know that I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to the negative thoughts. No. In Jesus Christ, I can be set free. And not only am I set free, but now I can begin to take captive these negative thoughts and begin to demolish these strongholds that have existed in my life. I believe in faith. I'm speaking this over you right now, that God is positioning you and has positioned you right now to demolish strongholds that are taking place in your family right now. Some of us, let's just be real, because of this coronavirus, because of COVID, because we've been at home, there has been some idols that have been revealed in your life. There has been some hidden things that maybe you didn't see, or some things that you are aware of, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your purity, maybe in your finances, maybe in your your parenting that were pushed aside, that you thought you could just easily ignore, but they're coming back to the surface today. And I'm here to declare to you today that today is the day where you begin to tear down these strongholds. Today is the day where you begin to demolish all of these false pretensions and these arguments that are causing division, not just in your heart and in your soul and in your life, but in the lives of those around you. God has made you more than a conqueror through his son, Jesus Christ. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. We subdue our thoughts and we surrender our thoughts. And through Jesus and his resurrection power, we take captive all of these negative things. We will win the war in our mind. We can be victorious. Matter of fact, I don't even want to say we can be victorious. Here's the better news. We already are victorious when it comes to winning the war in our minds. How do I know this to be true? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says it like this: but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you are not fighting for victory. You are actually fighting from victory. Jesus has already gone to the cross. Jesus has already been resurrected. Jesus has already been raised from the grave on the third day. Jesus has already ascended into heaven and now sent down his Holy Spirit to be with us, to let us know that we have all power, that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave on the third day now lives on the inside of you. Come on, somebody. The same spirit that got Jesus up out of the grave now dwells on the inside of us, which means we already have victory. And now he calls us to walk it out. And the way we walk it out is by taking these thoughts captive. It's by subduing these thoughts, but then also by surrendering these thoughts. Because if Jesus was strong enough to get up out of the grave, if God could raise his son up out of the grave, God could get your mind in check. God can give you the victory in your mind. I've said it every week and I'll say it again, that the way to master your mind is by giving your mind to the master. You will not master your mind. You will not experience victory apart from Jesus. I don't care what kind of self-help book you read. I don't care what kind of teledoc you may be doing right now. That's no shade to none of them. I'm trying to help you understand that true power only comes from Jesus. True victory only comes from Jesus. You're not going to be able to think your way out of this. You're not going to be able to work your way out of this. It only comes as a result of you saying, Jesus, I give you my life. That's the only way you will be able to experience the victory that Jesus has already made available to you and for you. And some of you are watching this today. You may be a follower of Christ, but you've drifted from Jesus. You may be a follower of Christ. You may have gave your life to Christ a year ago, years ago, maybe as a young person, but your thought life, can I just say this, has been garbage. I can say that because I've experienced the same thing. There's been plenty of times, even in my walk with Jesus, when my thoughts were not right, when my thoughts were impure, when my thoughts were not godly, when my thoughts were sinful. And it led to bondage in different areas, and it led to strongholds. But here's the good news. I also want you to understand today that even if you're in that place as a follower of Jesus, man, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That you are free in Jesus Christ. That today marks a new day for you. That today marks a new beginning for you. Even as a follower of Jesus, Jesus says, "Hey, I want to make all things new, and I want to renew your mind today." Some of you, you're not a follower of Christ. You're not a Christian. You've never said yes to Christ. You've never believed in Jesus today or any other day. Today is the day that I want to extend this invitation to you for you to say yes to him. I want you to understand, I am not against any type of medical science. I believe in therapy. I believe in theology and therapy. I believe in prayers and psychologists. Come on, somebody. I believe in all of that. But here's what I also know. At the core, only King Jesus, only the great physician known as Jesus Christ can help you in your core. He is the only one who can cleanse you of all your sin. He is the only one who can give you a new mind and a new heart. And if you have never said yes to him, and if you've never believed in him, today is the day for that to happen. So I want to lead you in a moment of prayer. And I want you to say these words after me if you're ready to say yes to Jesus today. You're ready to give him your life. You need to make this decision when you say, Jesus, I want a new mind. I want a new heart. I want a new soul. I want to be renewed. If this is you, I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Matter of fact, all of us right where you are, for the sake of those especially who are coming to Christ, would you bow your head and close your eyes? And for those of you who are saying, I need Jesus today, and I want to turn from my sin and I want to turn to him because I believe that he came to give me life and life more abundantly. If this is you and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my mind. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for new life. Thank you for a new mind. Thank you for a new purpose. In your name I pray. Amen. If you said yes to Jesus today and you prayed that prayer, I want you to understand that you are now a new creature. The Bible says any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. And so if you said yes to Jesus, man, we praise God for you and we celebrate. Come on, in the comment section, I want y'all to make as much digital noise as possible. Drop some emojis in there. Drop some amens in there. Drop some hand claps in there. Drop all that in there, celebrating every single person who said yes to Jesus today. And if you did pray that prayer and you did say yes to Christ today, here's what I need you to do. I don't want you to go through life alone. And I don't want you just to say this prayer, giving your life to Jesus, and think that you are now on this thing and in this thing on your own. No, I consider you a part of the Bridge family. I consider you BFAM. And we want to come alongside you and help you take the next step in your faith. We want to know that you made this decision today so we can celebrate you, with you and help you grow in your faith. So if this is you and you prayed that prayer, here's what I need you to do. I need you to text I decided to the number at the bottom of the screen. Text I decided to 94,000. I decided to 94,000, because all we're going to do, we're not going to do anything extra with your information other than reach out to you and just let you know that we're here for you, and also let you know some ways in which you can grow in your faith. We want you to know that God is for you, that He is not against you. Come on, church family, y'all make some noise one more time for every single person who gave their life to Jesus. Man, we're so pumped up for you. We're so excited for you. And I want to thank you, church family, B family. I want to thank you for your generosity. Thank you for honoring God through your gifts, through your tithes, and through your offerings. I want to encourage you to continue to do that, because it's making a difference. It's allowing us to be able to reach people in our community. It's allowing us as a church to be able to reach people in different states. We got people watching from the West Coast, from the East Coast, up north, up south. We got people watching us in different countries right now. And it's all because of your generosity, enabling us to be able to pay for things, to be able to provide ministry in an excellent and quality way, to be able to meet the needs of people in our community tangibly, the hands and feet of Jesus. So I thank you so much, church family, for your honoring God, for your obedience to God through your generosity. You can give online at thebridgechurchva.com, or you can give using the Cash App. All that information is right there. You see it at the bottom of your screen. But I want to remind you today that Jesus has given you victory in your mind. I want you to know today that you are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. I want you to know today, if God is for you, who can be against you? So what are we going to do today? Let's say it again. What are we going to do? We're going to subdue our thoughts through Christ. It's all through Him. But then after we subdue them, after we capture them, come on, do it with me, capture. After we capture those thoughts, what are we going to do next? We're going to surrender those thoughts to Christ, because He is the one who has all victory. He is the one who has all power. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for all you've done. We thank you for this rich word that you've given us today. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would help us to continue to walk in victory in our minds. Lord, we win the war in our minds by remembering what you have already done for us and how you have equipped us to be able to do so. So we thank you. I pray right now for the person under the sound of my voice, wherever they're watching this and viewing this from, for the person who has been stressed out, for the person who has anxiousness. I pray for every anxious mind right now. I pray for every distracted mind right now. I pray for every defeated mind right now. I pray for every discouraged mind, every depressed mind. I pray in the name of Jesus for every single mind, that right now you would give them the mind of Christ Jesus, your Son. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for the assurance that you have given us. And I pray that you would be with us, that you would guide us as we go throughout the course of this week. Help us to be light and salt everywhere we go. Help us to be an encouragement. Help us to love on people. Help us to serve people. Help us to continue to share Jesus with people wherever we go, online or in person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, I love you. You are the real MVPs. You are victorious in Jesus' name. Go be victorious. Go win the battle. We'll see you next week.